Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, podcast audience. This is your guy, Kenny Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio. And as always, it's Thursday morning, it's 10 o'clock, and I have Mr. Anthony Norris from Blue Collar Workers online with us. Good morning, Mr. Norris.
Top of the morning to you, young man.
Again, every Thursday morning, we're here on Hodge to Hodge podcast of Blog Talk Radio, trying to give you information and knowledge on should you become injured or receive an injury or sustain an injury at work. This is a quality podcast to give you information on what you need to do.
Correct.
Now, before we get started this morning, me and Mr. Norris are going to clear up some misconceptions. Yesterday, I had quite a few people come to me and ask me about an individual named John Cruz. Allegedly, Mr. Cruz is in some kind of a tangle. And again, I say allegedly, dealing with bad claims or bad whatever. But what I'm going to do is allow Mr. Norris to go ahead and clear that up so that we can bifurcate his company and John Cruz's company so you understand you're still in good hands. Mr. Norris.
Yes, sir. And thanks for that. And I appreciate you guys reaching out and asking questions, because at the end of the day, you want to know that you're doing business or getting advice from someone who's qualified and someone who understands how things are supposed to be done. Now, a lot of people I work with know I come from an organization, I worked with an organization called Injured Federal Workers Advocate Association. When I was with that organization, I did the same thing I do with this company, Blue Collar Federal Injury Consultants. I am an advocate, and I work with claims managers. I did the same thing with that organization. John Cruz is the president of the previous organization, or better yet, Injured Federal Workers Advocate Association. He owns a couple of pharmacies and clinics, and apparently a few of the doctors that he was working with in other cities outside of Columbus, I guess some of the medications that were prescribed weren't medically necessary. So that is a doctor and pharmacy issue. It has nothing to do with us as claims managers, has nothing to do with us as advocates. So the situation that they're jammed up in right now, the United States government is targeting pharmacies and doctors and basically doing an investigation to find out if prescription drugs are they medically necessary when prescribed or not. We have nothing to do with medicine. We are basically claims managers. So when that type of news hits the airwaves, you know, people panic and people get concerned because they read an article or hear some hearsay. But hopefully what I'm explaining to you guys this morning clears it up. That is a medicine issue between pharmacy and physicians. It has nothing to do with us as claims managers or advocates. I do not deal with medicine at all. I am not a doctor. I don't know when you see a doctor what he's going to prescribe for you, what he believes is medically necessary from a prescription drug standpoint, whether it's topical creams or oral pills. I have no idea and don't get into that. So I want us to be perfectly clear and transparent as to what it is that we do. So all my conversations have always been about empowering the injured worker, and more physical therapy than anything. So, again, that is related solely about medicine, and that is something that we do not engage in. Mr. Hodge, do you have any other questions?
No, I do thank you. And my audience thanks you for clearing that up. Because, again, right up until yesterday, I've never had anyone say anything about the service you provide except for they enjoy talking to you, and you guys are very prompt. So I felt it necessary for us to clear that up. And final line, it would be, Mr. Anthony and Mr. Cruz are not in business together or not even working for the same company. So those folks who still subscribe to Blue Collar Workers Guidance, continue, because you're in good hands, folks.
Absolutely. And again, I want everyone to, even after this podcast call, if you want to call me directly, you know, that's fine. But at the end of the day, let's clear something else up, too, because a lot of people want to know, I give all this information and we provide all this service. How are we compensated? Okay. Our fee schedule for claims management is attached to therapy centers. So we work with multiple therapy centers all across the country. So the physician, when you go see the MD, we do not charge him for any of the claims management that we do, even for his organization. So let me tap into that real quick too, Mr. Haas. That way I kind of clear even more. Okay, we are claims managers for you, the injured worker, the medical doctor, as well as the chiropractor. We are basically the hub of all three parties. Okay, so that's why I tell the injured worker, when you get correspondence from the Department of Labor, you forward that over to us. When the doctor writes his narratives, he sends that over to, actually there's two companies, guys. You have United Allied Claims Management and Blue Collar. Blue Collar is the advocate, United Allied is the claims management. So when the doctor writes his narratives, he sends that over to United Allied. When you get your correspondence, those of you already working with us, you know to send that over to United Allied. If you're in some type of physical therapy regimen, when the DC writes his notes after you finish therapy, he sends that all to United Allied. United Allied then communicates with the Department of Labor. So that's how we basically hold everyone's hand throughout the entire process. Okay, so through our attorneys, our fee schedule, we're doing the same thing for the medical doctor that we do for the chiro. So you can attach your fee schedule only to one party. You see the physician once a month, so it's less work involved managing claims for the MD. The chiro, those probably go to therapy 2-3 times a week, one time a week, once every 2 weeks, whatever it is. You're interacting with him more, so there's more of a workload that's on the therapy side, and that's where our fee schedule is attached to. So the U.S. government have no problem with that whatsoever, and they want you to get all the assistance, which, you know, we quote the law. For those of you who are working with us and you see it in the package, everything I'm saying is in writing. So we do everything by the book, and the government has no problem with that. Where the government has a problem is these MDs out here writing prescription drugs to you injured workers that may not be medically necessary. And what pharmacies that they're working with, some of these doctors own pharmacies. Some of these doctors have a vested interest in these pharmacies. So that's where a lot of people are getting in trouble. And again, we have nothing to do with that. We have no idea what pharmacies that these doctors are working with. And even if we do, that has nothing to do with us. Okay? So.
I appreciate you putting that up there.
So I just wanted to share a little light on that and empower you guys on the entire process so you feel safe. And you see the transparency that we have.
Hey, I can't thank you enough for clearing that up for the listeners. So again, blue collar workers are still advocate, Mr. Norris, for blue collar workers are still strong, they're still legitimate, and they're still very viable in what injured employees need. Should federal employees get injured at work? Hey, thank you, Mr. Norris. I appreciate that. Keeping people at ease, so to speak, for lack of a better phrase, is very important because sometimes we hear things that aren't true, but if we don't address them, then a little lie becomes a big lie, and then a lot of businesses get hurt as a result of it. So
absolutely.
Now that we've got that out the way, we understand we still have a legitimate organization providing guidance and support for us. Let's move right into that CA7.
Yes, sir. Okay, last week.
Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, sir.
No, I was going to say that CA7.
Well, you can open it up.
Okay, well, that CA7, that's a form that if you miss work and you haven't been paid, if you're COP, don't kick in automatically, but you are entitled to it, then the CA7 is a document that we have to send in. We'll fill it out and send it in order to kind of manually ignite the compensation payments. And just so I don't give you bad information, let me turn you right over to the expert on that matter.
Okay. Basically, when an employee is disabled by a work-related injury and loses pay for more than 3 calendar days or has a permanent impairment or serious disfigurement, the employer should furnish you a CA-7 for claiming compensation. Now, what we do is when you guys get hurt, we actually provide you a compensation planner because, again, every week I tell you guys documentation is king. So that compensation planner, any event that the doctor takes you off work full or part-time, we want you to track lost wages. And that's what CA-7s are for. They are for you getting the lost wages when you either off from work full-time or off from work part-time. So if you're receiving continuation of pay, you'll be supplying those CA-7s. And even if you're not, so it applies to traumatic injuries and it also applies to occupational injuries. Okay. So just FYI, if you're receiving COP, your employer should give the CA-7 to you by the 30th day of the COP period. And then it's submitted that form to OWCP by the 40th day. So here comes that 10 days again, whereby we highly advise people to get those CA-7s completed and over to their employer so that form can get submitted. Now, we all know how our agencies lose paperwork and they didn't get it and this, that, and the other. We do have some strategic tactics to make sure that it's done, and it's really using your own service. So I've had people fill out their CA-7s and send certified to their agency, to their supervisor. That way it has to be signed off on that they actually did receive your CA-7. Okay? So we hold your hand through that entire process. Once that CA-7 is given by you to the employer, they shall complete their appropriate part of the form, and as soon as possible, which typically is 5 working days after receipt from you, the employer shall forward the completed form CA-7 and any accompanying medical information to OWCP. So, again, all your benefits is going to come from the Office of Workers' Compensation Programs, which is Department of Labor, outside of your agency, 46 days into you being off work, whether it's full-time or part-time. So it's a real simple process. It's just the logistics of it. I hear a lot of agencies get things confused, but we'll assist you with that.
Now, on that CA-7 form, is that a one-time fill-out, or do you fill that out every time you have wages that you're not compensated for?
Yes, you fill it out every time because that tracks your lost wages. Now, if you get to a point, like I had a lady the other day, where you are, I think she's been off work maybe a couple of months now. I forget the case. But anyway, once you're off for a certain amount of time, you will get a letter from the Department of Labor that says that you no longer have the complete CA-7s. They want to make sure they have either have your direct deposit information or where to mail those checks to. But again, that will come from the Department of Labor once they got basically a history of CA-7s. I want to say it's like 60 days, but I have to double check that just to be sure.
Okay, brother, I appreciate it because again, it seems to be it seems to be an issue, especially in the Columbus area, where folks are getting injured. Management call themselves controverting the claim, not successful with management, not successful with the controversy, but yet employees are not being compensated for missed work hours. And that CA-7 came up a few times in conversations last week. So I said, let me put that on the air so we can get the definitive word on how to use that form and when to use that form from the subject matter expert.
Right. And again, you want to complete that form immediately. And the way we do it is we do provide you a compensation planner, which will be used for your CA-7. And when it's time to document that, or better yet, not document it, when it's time to turn it in, you'll have everything that you need in order to move forward. The problem is a lot of people wait till weeks or even months into a filed claim and then try to go back and get those lost wages, which means, you can get it if you're entitled to it, but trying to do the math to come up with, you know, what you were supposed to get versus what you did get, it can be a bit daunting. So we do provide a compensation planner for you guys early on so you can document that information.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I did hear you say that CA-7, once that CA-7 form is turned into the agency, again, they have 10 days to get that to the Department of Labor?
Change that to 5. They have
okay,
5 days.
They have 5 days to get that form to Department of Labor. So no employee should be sending their own CA-7 directly to Department of Labor. Everything should still be going right through their supervisor, correct?
Yes, because there is a portion on the CA-7 that your employer has to complete as well. Matter of fact, let's pull one up.
Okay. Okay, brother.
If we look at the CA-7, you go to section 8 through 15. That's your employer and agency section that they complete. Okay. And again, one thing I like about the Department of Labor, if you go to page 3 of the CA-7, it explains to you exactly where information needs to go where and who does what. So now that I have it in front of me, let me look at the time frame, because it's either 5 or 10 days, but I'm almost positive it's 5. Okay, it says supervisor complete section 8 to 15 as directed and promptly forward the form to OWCP. So they're using the word promptly, but in the section above it, I'm going to read this to you guys.
What section are you in, brother?
Submitted, I am on the top of page 3, instructions for completing form CA7.
Okay, I'm with you.
I'm at the second paragraph.
Okay.
And I'm on the second sentence. The form should also be submitted when the employee reaches maximum improvement and claims a scheduled award. If the employee is receiving continuation of pay and will continue to be disabled after 45 days, the form should be filed with OWCP 5 working days prior to the end of the 45-day period. So that's where I'm getting that 5 days from. Let me see if it's in section.
Okay.
I'm going to have to be with you on the exact time frame. I know it was like the 5 or 10. I just can't remember exactly where I got that. But you see that they do have 5 working days prior to the end of your 45-day period.
Okay.
Get the form submitted.
Okay, so again, I'll go over the form again myself, but until we get clarification, employees, let's roll with 5 days until we get that exactly clarified for you.
Yeah, I'll reach out to the Department of Labor, to the claims examiner, and find out exactly when. I mean, we talk to them all the time. That way I'm giving you guys the correct information. I'll have that for you next week.
Okay, that's a good deal. And again, as you can... I got a picture of that CA7 up on my other screen. And as you can see, that injury compensation package or lost wages package that's provided once Mr. Norris's organization is giving you guidance is going to be very important, because when you start looking at that CA7, they want dates, they want your pay when it stopped, your step increase. So there's a lot of information on here that if you provide or if you follow the guidance in the lost wage package that Mr. Norris provides you, it's going to be so much easier for you to take that document and complete the CA7 claim for compensation. So, again, when these tools are being given to you, you have to use them, folks. If all this knowledge is being given to you and then you fail to use it, now when it comes time to fill out your CA7, instead of having all the information you need, now you're scrambling and searching for it. And a lot of times we may not provide the right information, which is going to delay your claim. So the information that you're provided with on how to track lost wages, make sure once you get that package that you are very diligent in how you track the information, so that in the event you're not paid automatically, you have the information to manually kickstart your compensation package.
Correct. I mean, it's your money at the end of the day. So we want to make sure that you get the benefits that you're supposed to get.
And that's very important when Mr. Norris says it's your money. It is. It's yours. And if it's been set aside specifically for federal employees who receive injuries at work. Now, let me tell you, you can do like some people do in other places. You can not exercise your rights and then just complain to everybody you see, which is still not going to get you paid. Or you can exercise your right, have some due diligence on how you track your situation, and the system is set up to make sure you get what you have coming to you. But there's certain things you have to do in order to ignite or kickstart your compensation claim payments. So again, you have to. You're the one that's injured, and Mr. Norris always tells us, you're the one that's injured. And if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else is going to do that. Nobody is going to take care of you like you. And when you don't file these claims or you procrastinate to the point where now you're taking that injured situation to your house, to your children, to your spouse, to other avenues in life, and then that becomes cranky, because you're in pain, but you didn't do the proper things to get to notify or to get treatment. So as you can see, because you didn't do what you're supposed to do, you have a negative cycle spiraling out of control, and everything is already set up in place to help you. All you have to do is exercise your rights.
Right.
So, you know, again, we try to educate you. Again, we try to put this knowledge out in front of you. But I do want to tell you that Mr. Norris and Mr. Cruz are not the same organization. Blue-collar workers have no allegations against them that would even suggest you don't want to do business with them. That's a quality organization, and they provide a quality service to federal employees.
Right.
So it looks like we're coming to the end of our show. Mr. Norris, any parting words for the audience?
Yes. At the end of the day, I think it's very important that you understand that Blue Collar Federal Injury Consultants is here for you. Information, guidance, tutelage, and it's up to you what you choose to do with it. I never talk about money on this show because everything we provide to you is at no cost. I just explain to you how we get compensated. We get compensated for managing your claim. We do not deal with medicine at all. We do not deal with pharmacy at all. So we're not going to get caught up into any of that type of news because we just don't offer those services, and we're not affiliated with those services. So I want you to think about us as being advocates and claims managers. And what we do is we educate, we advocate, and we train. So you get information from this podcast, and if you want to manage your claim yourself, then go right ahead. I know at the end of the day that we've done something to empower people, and we do it all across the country. And you guys aren't the first one to call me about this. I've been answering that situation ever since it arrived because we touch so many people across the country. But once they understand the difference between medicine and management, everyone feels a lot better. So, again, that's a different language we're in.
Once again, before we close out, go ahead and give me your contact information, brother.
Sure. We can be reached directly. My telephone number is 713-256-2089. And visit us through the web, bluecollarfic.com. There's a ton of information there regarding everything that we talk about every week. So we're here to empower you.
Hey, I thank you for your time this morning, Mr. Norris. And as always, information, education that we're going to apply is going to greatly enhance the quality of our work life. So I thank you, Mr. Norris. You have a wonderful day. And
you as well.
Let's go on out there and create the best life that we possibly can. Have a good day, everyone.